Hey y'all, welcome back to another episode of Your Vibes Podcast. Everybody's got a vibe and a story to tell. Here's this one. I hope you enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by The Station. The Station is downtown Dixon's premier event venue. Located inside historic Mulberry Mill, The Station is a perfect space for a wedding or reception, birthday party or baby shower, conference or class, photo or video shoot, and even a live music performance. Just a quick 45-minute commute from Nashville, Clarksville, and Columbia, The Station provides your guests with a classy and convenient experience in the heart of downtown Dixon's up-and-coming environment. To book your next event, please contact Andy Truman at 336-693-4311 or email her at events@mulberrymilldixon.com.
But we did have this house in East Memphis. It was about 2 miles away from the house that I was a little girl in. And man, that house had some trouble.
Oh no.
So we bought it. I didn't buy it. I was like 14. My mom and dad bought it in 04. And it had been vacant for about 2 years. And it was one of the first houses built. It was your typical mid-century modern split ranch. You would never guess that it had some stuff going on with it. But my dad's idea, my mom had unrealistic price expectations, which doing what I do, that's just kind of a thing, sure. You know? And he told our realtor, find like the worst house that you can possibly find for her. Like find something just like she will say no to. And man, she walked in that house and she said, This is it.
I love this house.
This is perfect. It's down the street from the elementary school and it's got all the space we want. And my dad's like, oh crap. Like, no, this is the creepiest house I've ever been in. Like it just had a weird feeling to it. And so it was a product of like, I think it was like a divorce thing or something like that. And so they couldn't figure it out.
Murdered their children and everybody in there.
Well, no, but I will tell you every owner of that house, I mean, my mother included, passed away inside that house.
Oh,
and
man.
So like it was a thing. And so he got through the inspections and the story I'm told, now I can't confirm this, but, and he'll probably laugh at me cause he's going to listen to this. I'm sure. Hey dad. Mm-hmm. I remember after the inspection, we were actually going through the crawl space and like a homeless person had been living in the crawl space
oh
of this
gosh.
House for like probably a minute.
Oh
and
my
so,
gosh.
And it just smelled like absolute death in there.
Can imagine.
So, you know, we moved in and it was a beautiful house. I mean, it was about 2,500 square feet,
okay.
You know, living formal areas, perfect for, you know, all the things we wanted. It was a big upgrade from what we had before. And I started to notice just like a weird feeling in there. And, you know, everyone watches the ghost shows and they have like, you know, they see the kid that's like freaked out and scared. And I remember the first night that something weird happened. I was in bed and it was cool because it was a double master. My parents' bedroom, it used to be the master bedroom, it was upstairs. And then the bedroom, there were two bedrooms downstairs that were, they were converted to a master suite. So my bedroom was huge. It was awesome. It was wonderful. And I had been in bed and suddenly my radio freaking turns on.
Oh man.
And it's one of those like, you know, in like the mid 2000s, like those analog, like has like the console in the middle, like with the speakers
oh, yeah.
on either side
oh,
and there's
yeah.
not a remote for it. Like you have to actually crank mm-hmm. the volume up to make it go up. And it was on static and then it just turned, it had like a little light on the analog knob and it turned itself all the
oh,
way up.
Gosh.
And it was enough that it made me just jump out of bed because I was convinced my parents are going to like, you know, yell at me because
sure.
I've turned it up. And so, you know, from time to time, that would happen probably, you know, once or twice a quarter or something like that. And it was enough to, you know, wake me up. And I remember, like, do you ever watch Family Guy when,
oh,
like,
yeah.
Cleveland is going, like, down the tub, like, no, 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 no. It was like that. I was so frustrated with it. And, you know, it was enough for me to realize, oh, this might actually be, like, not just, you know, an electrical issue. This might be actually something going on. And, what I didn't know is that, you know, every owner of that house had passed away within that house and under kind of like sad or violent circumstances. The person before, he was like a he was a doctor, and he liked to collect and race Corvettes. And okay. evidently, like, he was working in the shop. In the back, we called it the Family Life Center. It was, like, ended up being, like, a band room for my brother. And it used to have a lift in there. And evidently, he had just, like, dropped dead under the Corvette. And so
oh, no.
things like that were happening. And so we, you know, it was enough that we couldn't deny it. Like, the biggest thing was the electrical thing. I'd come home from school, and my brother and I would walk home from the middle school. And, like, the radios would be on static at, like, full blast, and it was just creepy.
So you've been surrounded by haunted things seemingly your whole life.
Well, only two times. Only, well, okay. not my whole life, because okay. I don't like to, I give that caveat because I don't want it to be, the, I don't want to be the kind of person that's like, oh, she sees it everywhere she goes.
Okay.
You know?
Sure.
But it's one of those things, you know it when you recognize it.
Yeah.
And so it,
But it could also be perceived as, you know, you don't want to make too terribly many judgments as far as that Miss Angela has a higher sense of perception, you know? You know, I mean, it's what it is. I mean, because in order to kind of break that barrier, some people, you know, I mean, like, not to compare you to a cat, but cats have a higher sense of intuition and can see things that way as well, too. And some people, children between the ages of 0 to 7, you know, mm-hmm. they're not conformed to society, and they haven't been told, you know, what's real and what's not real, and you know, the talk behind having an imaginary friend could be extremely real to them, you know, mm-hmm. and it could be a ghost to somebody else, kind of thing.
Well, it's one of those things that, like, I mean, there's different ways of looking at it. And so, you know, my opinion on stuff varies every year, just as new stuff comes out. And it is very nebulous, right? There's no sure. proven evidence of any of this. But if you think about the way energy works, I mean, mm-hmm. energy stays.
It does. Yeah.
And so, you know, what does that energy do? We don't really know. And it's probably about the most, like, out of the box part of myself, but having experienced it, actually, like, seeing things happening in your world that are just like, I can't.
Sure, can't explain it
or
words.
Quantify this, you know. So I've got a couple of good stories that I've kind of collected from friends. I've got a couple that are just, I love horror movies, so I love, like, the parallel behind some of them too.
Cool.
So, you know, there's the Dixon one, which
okay.
whenever
the,
if you if
the
you
White Bluff, is it the White Bluff?
Well, so I've learned something interesting with from my good friend Justin Spurlock,
mm-hmm.
And I love
wealth
to
of knowledge.
I know,
that man.
And I love yeah. to I love to talk to him about this kind of stuff because he gets riled up. so there are, if you Googled ghost stories Dixon County, usually you come up with what's called the White Bluff Howler,
mm-hmm.
and that's just a story that. Oh, speaking of White Bluff Howler.
There it is. He's here. He's
oh my here. Goodness, that was my puppy. I'm sorry. So the White Bluff Howler, there's not a lot of stuff recorded about it. It's just a story of some other mythical beast. What is the term it called again? I can't think of it. A cryptid.
Yeah.
And they say it's some creature that just lives out in the White Bluff area, but a more well-known story since I've moved here that I hear about is the Werewolf Springs story.
So they're not the same thing.
Well, so let's talk about that.
Yeah,
okay. That's what Justin and I were talking about. Okay. And I, you know, and I'm the kind of person that maybe makes a mountain out of a molehill, and he can, he and I can sit and argue about this later. But
he called me out on Lonesome Cabin not being the oldest building in Dixon
Bless
County.
His heart.
Too.
Justin, I love you.
We need people like Justin to keep us in line.
No, man. Yeah. So what my favorite, I love this story because it kind of incorporates all of the, I mean, the creepy factor. I mean, think about, like, American Horror Story, right?
Oh, yeah,
so you can
favorite.
Just, like, visualize this whole thing. So the story, the way Justin told me, and I'm going to paraphrase this because I'm just not going to do it justice, but evidently back in the olden days, you know, the railroad was kind of king, mm-hmm. and that was the way people got around. Sometime after the Civil War, so just think, like, I guess Reconstruction period, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was a circus that was coming from Nashville back to Memphis. That's the L&N Railroad. Mm-hmm. It had been several other railroads, I believe, at that time. Please correct me if I'm wrong, Justin. It was the L&N Railroad. And so at that time, I guess somewhere around that junction at the entrance of Montgomery Bell, I think near 47, Hall, is it Hall Springs? Is that right? There was a derailment and it was the animal trucks conveniently. Right. And so there was apparently this beast of Borneo that, do you know where Borneo is?
No, but I've heard the name.
It's one of the most undeveloped civilizations even currently. I had a friend that went there and they said there was like no contact with anyone else, but it's apparently the most beautiful place you can ever go.
Okay.
So it was sort of, they call it a beast of Borneo. You can make your own assumption of what that meant. But evidently this thing got released, this cryptid was released out into the woods of Dickson County in the Burns area. And so they didn't really know whatever happened with it. And a couple of years later, evidently there was a gentleman and his hired hand. They went out in the woods, just, I guess they were hunting of some sort, and they came across this creature, and it was like, you know, up in their face. And it chased after them on their horse and buggy and chased through the woods. And evidently, they went up in two different directions, and the beast chased his hired hand. And I guess, like,
never came back.
Obliterated him? I don't know.
Oh, boy.
So they came back out and looked for him, and they never found anything like that. And so they, I guess that it's sort of one of those things like where the story just kind of kept going and going. Like they said, they see this wolf man every so often, but there's never really been any true sighting of it. And like I said, I didn't do the story justice, but what I love about this story is that there is so much similarity to what they talk about the White Bluff Howler. Mm-hmm. But what Justin and I were talking about is that the stories are just different enough that wouldn't it be interesting if that same wreck, that same derailment, had two cryptids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, baby. That's what I'm talking about.
So think about like two cryptids in the Dickson County woods.
Two big bad things running around out there.
So anyway, they there were a couple of attempts. Like there was another time where they actually like sent off search parties to try to kill it. It's just one of those things. And it's like, it's kind of like our community Sasquatch. I love that we have that.
I do too. And it's been in the newspaper. I don't know. Not even as a spoof. I think I saw an article about it. I don't know if it was the Herald or whatever it was, but it was in the Dickson newspaper a long time ago. Just talking about people hearing screaming noises, and because it's also referred to as the White Bluff Screamer too, right? Yeah. And it just makes these wild and crazy noises, and people will see it. Now, is there a cabin or something out there maybe that it's associated
it's
with?
It's part of Montgomery Bell.
Understood. Park, yeah. But is there like an old cabin somewhere in Montgomery Bell?
Well, there's the old cabin by the shrine, by the Cumberland Presbyterian Shrine.
Okay.
So, and that would make, but, I mean, if I'm honest, I'm just new enough to not know that.
Yeah. But I feel like it'd be like, because what, Montgomery Bell is like 1,600 acres maybe?
It's big, big, big.
It's big, big, big. Yeah. I would like to go out and do a search party for that.
I'd go.
You would?
I'd go. Yeah. I'm not afraid of that stuff.
Oh,
no.
Let's do it.
Except for I'm afraid of poison sumac. That's about it.
You've had a little bit of a run-in with that here lately.
Yeah, just a little bit. But no, so that's, I think it's a sweet story. It's what I love about it. And from what I've just, you know, I'm a newcomer here. I'm not from Dickson County. But I've heard so many of my friends that have heard that story at like Montgomery Bell field trips. And I love that, like the story of that is passed on. So believe
it. It should be a part of leadership, shouldn't it? Maybe we should do a leadership search party.
Oh man! Well, we didn't get to do the challenge course this year because of the rain.
Let's stick everybody out in the middle of the woods and go searching for the.
I'd feel so bad for my friends out there.
Yeah,
oh my goodness!
I don't know how many people would make it, but.
Well, you know what we discovered is that Dutch. I cannot remember Dutch's last name.
Bryant.
Dutch Bryant and I. We had the lowest scores on the survival sheets. So.
Oh man!
If it was Dutch and I.
Okay.
Just put the two of us out there, we'd find it.
Yeah, you would. That was a pretty fun game though, wasn't it?
It was challenging. I kind of second guess. I'm a really big Nancy Drew fan though.
Oh,
and
cool.
So I kind of like put myself in that mindset and I was able to
at least
figure something out.
Yeah. And so you showed me earlier too, here at your home, there's a little bit of a haunted room. So I went in there, and I could kind of tell, you know, you kind of get that feeling a little bit.
It's kind of got a silly feeling about it. I mean, I think I tell people it's full of new furniture, but old things. So mm-hmm. I think it could have that sort of vibe to it. But so when we were building this house that my husband and I live in an undisclosed area of Dixon County, he has requested that I do not tell people where we live.
We're in the 37055 somewhere.
We are somewhere within the county, but not the city limits. We have about 27 acres out here that historically belongs to my husband's family. And back in the 1790s, my husband, his ancestor, Elijah Moore, fought in the Revolutionary War. And he was given land by George Washington for, I guess, you know, being a captain in the army, like everyone else's ancestors got land out here in Tennessee. And so it was part of a 3,800 acre farm. And it was so cool because I was actually able to look in like the Dixon history books and find that and trace that. And back in the 60s, when Frank Clement built I-40 mm-hmm. through here, they kind of like used our street, which has a different name now, but it had a street name back then. They used it sort of as the border for where they would carve the interstate, but they kind of left like a little hangnail off the end of it. And that little excess land is where my husband and I built a house. And the this all used to be one giant tobacco farm. And if you're driving through other areas across the interstate, you'll see all the tobacco barns, the tobacco fields, all that stuff. And this was more like the processing side of things over here. And so there were different iterations of the farm. There's two good stories that really stand out. The first one was the Holland family. And there are Hollands here. I actually think about Chris Holland. Oh, I love Chris. I don't know if it's the same relation. I've always kind of meant to ask him that. But
I'm sure it ties back somewhere.
I'm sure it does. Yeah. So they were sharecroppers on this property, like literally within probably 50 yards of here.
Oh, wow. Cool.
And so it was in the 1815, right? No, 1918. I'm sorry. Excuse me.
A century later.
I was getting the numbers sort of right. Sorry. Think about what was going on in that time. Mm-hmm. It was another pandemic, right? Yeah. It was the flu epidemic.
Spanish
and so
flu.
They, this family had been sharecropping out here, and they were, I guess they just didn't pay their rent, honestly. And so Andrew's great-grandfather, Orman, he was this little stocky man. He always said he looked like Yosemite Sam. I had like a big old mustache and everything. And he came to collect and discovered that the family was not well. I mean, half of them, I think, had passed away at that point. And they were just like in this cabin that was like right there, sitting next to where our living kitchen table is right now. And so what they did, you know, he went into town and went for the doctor, and the doctor said, no, I know that family, they're too poor, they can't afford me. And he apparently plopped that doctor up on his horse with a gun to the head and said, come out here, you're going to take care of these people. And by the time they got out here, the family had either they were passed away or they were in really bad state. And so they ended up raising the house. They set it on fire and pushed it into the creek.
Oh, man.
And so Andrew's dad would come out to the property here even as a kid, and they would find like doorknobs, and we found ball jars out in the woods still, like where that house was.
Cool.
And every spring, it's kind of sweet.
So where was it in relation to like where we are?
Okay. So like we're sitting in the middle of our property. I mean, I'm talking like, look out my bedroom window. It's like right there.
Okay.
And in the spring, it's kind of sweet. You'll see daffodils grow up in a perfect square where the house used to be.
Oh, wow.
So I guess like I always picture Miss Holland planting her little daffodils there. And there's still a root cellar by like the road where you can see where that was once upon a time. But, you know, I've my friends say I've gotten pictures of her before. I took a picture. Andrew's rolling his eyes. I took a picture out of my window one night. My friend's like, there's a person in your window staring in. And every so often the dog will, you know,
be weird
and stare out the window. But it's a sad story, but I think it's kind of an interesting story.
Absolutely.
About it's interesting with the history. The one that we talked about, the haunted room, mm-hmm. right? So our ghost in our house that we know lives here, like we are just like convinced is hanging out with us. His name is Dummy.
What? Who named the ghost? No wonder he messes the bed up.
No, it's so bad. And I wish I knew who his real name was. So we actually have a friend right I wish you guys could see. It's right by at the end of our driveway. His headstone is like right there.
Oh,
it's not a full cemetery, just a single.
No,
grave.
It's just him.
Okay.
So back in the 1940s, all of this was logged out here. All of our land was logged. If you guys can't see it, obviously, but it's all woods. And they had run a lumber mill kind of at the bottom of the creek that runs behind our house. And Dummy was deaf and dumb. And that's why they called him Dummy.
Oh,
I know, it's awful. Like, that's why I'm cringing when I say it now publicly. But he...
You'd get ridiculed in today's world, wouldn't they?
I know. So anyway, he at some point got pulled into the mill.
Oh, no.
And it kind of cut him in half. And so one of the earliest memories of Andrew's great-grandmother, who grew up in a house just down the road from here, the house is still there, is they really get some sheets. Dummy's been sawed in half. And so anyway, there he lays. He is buried there. And there really wasn't a whole lot of like reported activity of it. I always knew about Dummy. Even when I was in college, when I was dating him, we talked about Dummy. The funny thing is my pastor's wife encountered like a super distant relative of ours. It's like as a nurse or something. And he's like, oh yeah, I've got family that lives in Dixon. Oh yeah, you know about Dummy? Apparently everybody knows about Dummy and like our family.
Wow.
So I kind of feel like when we were building this house, we clear cut about an acre of land out here. And you know, that let's talk about, you know, on all the ghost shows and stuff, when you stir the land up, everyone gets really angry and stuff. And so I kind of wonder if we didn't disrupt some stuff. And I mean, we actually made it so that we knew we weren't going to touch his grave, but his grave is like right there. And so anyway, my subcontractor started to kind of notice weird stuff happening when we were building the house. And I'm going to be honest with you, building this house was absolutely the worst experience for us. We had a builder sort of walk away from it and lost a bit of money from it and stuff like that. But so there was a lot of negativity with the house. Thankfully, that's all kind of been redeemed and it's a wonderful place to live now. But I even remember distinctly like my HVAC guy texting me and being like, hey, I'm leaving. Like, I can't be up here right now. And, you know, there would be footsteps. And I have a good friend whose kid has definitely seen someone like in the window looking out. And so
they were outside.
Yeah. And like the Roomba will start itself in the middle of the night, even though it's like not on a schedule.
Yeah.
And like we walked in 3 or 4 days ago and the piano was like, you know, so I mean, there's just,
Oh man. And the bed too, right?
Well, and the big thing he's telling me, so that every so often the bedroom upstairs that we call it the haunted room. I think it's sweet because it's the most unused room in our house. It's just our guest bedroom and it's pretty.
Sure.
And I almost think it's welcoming for whomever, but the bed will be unmade sometimes. And like I've got a really great cleaning lady who puts beautiful lines in our carpet and there's no footprints, but the bed is unmade, and so it's a little bit, you know, it's just unnerving. So
well, Dummy, you know, he needs a place to sleep. We should come up with another name for him.
I know. I wish the big
maybe just Silly or something.
Oh, I know. I feel so bad, but the problem is like the whole family calls him that already, so it kind of stuck. No, and in the biggest essence, I would never call him Dummy in the sense of he's stupid, because he's not. He's a human, but it's just one of those things that's kind of stuck for. I mean, think about that. It's 1940. I mean, that's like, you know,
it's a long time.
It's like an 80-year-old story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll stick. The name will stick.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I told Angela too that I was going to come over and I was going to sleep in that bed just to see what was going on.
No. And you can believe what you want to. It's, you know what, my great grandmother, my favorite thing about her, and they always said she was kind of sensitive like how I am, tells a good story too.
Yeah.
And you know what, at the end of the day, that's what I love about ghost stories and about scary stories.
Sure.
Is they stick. Whether or not they're true or not, I think we're all going to remember that. We're all going to remember Angela is kind of putting herself out there and telling crazy stories
loves
today.
Crazy stories. I'm the same way. People think I'm crazy too. A lot of stuff I say, but you know, just because you don't understand it or you don't know it doesn't mean it's not real.
Well, that's a good thing about October. It kind of reminds us it's, you know, the world kind of gets sleepy and gets dark and we can sort of hunker down and
get a little creepy about
get a little weird. Yeah. It's
kind of
fun.
Yeah. It was kind of like, what I was telling you about my cousin Stacy and her at her parents' house having a sleepover, and somebody walked through the dining room and there was a little girl standing on the dining room table.
It's a little friend.
You know, and it wasn't like this girl came in from the story that I was told. Girl came in and was just trying to make up this story. It's like she apparently walked into the next room where all the girls were that were having the sleepover and was just ghost white, was just pale white, and didn't like, couldn't say anything.
Well, and it's not fair when it's kids. Like, as adults, like, I can kind of look at it, and yeah, it sucks, like, when Andrew's out of town and I'm here by myself with a dog and the dog freaks out and I'm like, oh man, I don't want to deal with this right now.
No.
I'm gonna turn all the lights on in my house. But you know, I think about, I mean, I said it earlier, like, I think about the continuity of these kind of stories. Like, yeah, it's fun to tell them. And you know what? It like, is. I mean, they sing entire Christmas carols about that. Like,
sure. Sure.
So,
we interrupt this episode with a message from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by The Station. The Station is downtown Dixon's premier event venue. Located inside historic Mulberry Mill, The Station is a perfect space for a wedding or reception, birthday party or baby shower, conference or class, photo or video shoot, and even a live music performance. Just a quick 45-minute commute from Nashville, Clarksville, and Columbia, The Station provides your guests with a classy and convenient experience in the heart of downtown Dixon's up-and-coming environment. To book your next event, please contact Andy Truman at 336-693-4311 or email her at events@mulberrymilldixon.com. Now let's get back to it and enjoy the rest of this episode.
That's
so are there any more in Dixon that any other places?
Well, I've got
places?
A funny one. I've got a Cheatham County one. Okay. And so this is a recent one. And if I was telling you, I love scary movies. So Walkabout Road is sort of a subdivision area, kind of near the old part of Pegram. My in-laws are from Pegram. That's where Andrew, my husband, was born and raised. So back in the flood of 2010, you know, they got a little bit of saturation there. So evidently,
just a little.
Back in the day, in the 90s, when they were kind of developing that subdivision plus my in-laws' subdivision, they moved part of the old Pegram family cemetery. But they left a few graves there didn't know about. And so in the 2010 flood, all of a sudden this neighborhood, all of the freaking caskets were just floating to the surface of this neighborhood.
Oh, man.
And apparently they have had so much trouble in that subdivision now since then that everyone, I mean, you can look on the Tennessean now. They call that like the cursed neighborhood. Like it comes up every year at Halloween and it's like freaking poltergeist.
Where is it?
It's Walkabout Road. So Andrew could tell you better, but it's sort of off. It's off of Highway 70.
Okay.
If you know where Pegram is.
Oh yeah.
And, it just kind of tickles me because the visual of that.
It's just a bunch of
caskets. Sorry, that's so insensitive. And what I love is that they did take the time to identify who each person was, and they reinterred them, which was the respectful thing to do.
Absolutely.
But it tickled me the first time I saw that article because I was like, oh my gosh, it's like real life poltergeist.
Yeah. So they've had a bunch of trouble in the neighborhood then.
From what I understand, like, I mean, trouble is a relative term for people living there, but apparently it's like, you know.
It's inconvenient.
It's inconvenient. It's first inconvenient. World trouble. Yes, yeah. Exactly.
So as a realtor, have you bumped into anything crazy with some houses or anything?
I love stigmatized property. Man, if I could find, like, I.
You want to just be a realtor specializing in haunted houses.
I would totally. And you know what? I'm not going to offend one of my favorite realtors in town, but man, I walked into a murder mansion one time that was a confirmed murder mansion.
Oh, yeah.
And sometime take me out for a glass of wine and I'll tell you that story because is incredible because it was one of those moments where I was like, I've heard this story for years.
Sure.
And I walked into the place where it happened and it went up for sale. But thankfully some wonderful family who I'm never going to tell you the address of that has bought this property and they've built a beautiful home and they will never know.
Oh, wow. Okay, good.
But yeah, no, that's your fancy term for the day. Stigmatized property.
Stigmatized. So do you have to disclose that?
You should disclose everything because that's one of the first rules of being a realtor. There is no law that says that.
Sure.
But you know, we're supposed to be ethical people. We do things by ethics because we touch very sensitive stuff.
Absolutely.
So, like, if I knew that there was a murder or something terrible happening. I mean, I think it's kind of fun if the house is haunted.
Sure.
I could, you know, I mean, because here's the thing also. You can sort of look at a place and sort of get the idea. Like, I'm sorry, if it's built in like 1790, there's going to be stories. Because that's 300 years worth of like information.
Yeah.
Not 300 years, but you know, 200 plus years of information and stories that are going to transpire. So of course there's going to be stuff there. But I mean, if it was like 2008 and like a family got shot there, I'd tell everybody just Google the address. Like look it up before you buy it, you know? Because...
You'll find a new story.
You'll find stuff.
You'll find a new story on it.
I'm never going to hide it, but I'm certainly not going to like advertise it either.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So Stacy's parents' house is right on a graveyard too.
I love that. That's so
I
cool.
I do too. You get quiet neighbors.
You do have quiet neighbors. That's the best joke in real estate. Neighbors. I love that. No, I think with that, you know, there's a certain type of buyer out there that looks for that sort of property.
I can imagine.
Yeah. I mean, there is. And I mean, every time I go into an older house, I ask like, hey, what's the story here? Who died here?
Is there anybody brutally murdered in this house? I need to know.
No, I will tell you in that murder mansion, the creepiest moment of that, was going into that basement and there was like this weird little hidey hole in the back corner of it. And all that was in that room was a bucket and a folding chair. And I was like,
boy.
What is this place?
Torture chamber.
Yeah, it was creepy.
There was another one of my aunt's house. So my mom lived there for a little bit. Kind of grew up there, I guess. And then another one of my family members bought it. And I used to go over there and play. And so I would go over there. And it was just the main room and the kitchen. And then you could go upstairs to like a finished attic. And or you could go downstairs. And obviously the basement, you know, it had ground level windows. And I would go down there just, I don't know why I would go down there, but I would. You'd go down into like a half finished basement. And then there was a door that would go into an unfinished walkable crawl space. And so every time I go down there, the hair on the back of my neck would stand up. Like I was just weirded. Just real weirded out. And so I wouldn't go down there too often. And when I did, I wouldn't stay down there. Mm. Never really knew why. And then I think it was like maybe 4 years ago. I'm 31. And I was like, why do I always get weirded out when I go down into the basement? They're like, well, Michael. I'm like, oh, God, here we go. So allegedly, the people that used to live in that house before my mom, or maybe in between my mom and who bought it, I don't know if there was a grace period there or not, but there was a murder there.
Oh my gosh.
And nobody ever really knew who did it, but there was a gardener that would always garden at the house. And there was a little boy that lived next door in his bedroom window. He could see the ground level window in this house. And he, you know, I'd be lying if I said he swears to this day, but at the moment in time, he was telling people that I saw somebody crawl out of that window.
Oh, that's so
I
creepy.
Saw somebody crawl out of that window. Yeah. They're pinning it on the gardener. I don't think the case was ever really solved or not, but, then I was like, oh, look at that. What, that makes so much sense. Why did y'all not tell me this way before?
Think about like the super nebulous thought of that.
Yeah.
Like that's something that you didn't even know was imprinted on that. And those are, I mean, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. I mean, there's stuff in this world we can't understand.
Absolutely.
You know? So think about like the energy of just that negative thing kind of sticking to that spot.
It's frozen in there and it's just
But think about also the like impact that it has like on us as humans.
Yeah.
Like think about like how it kind of reverberates through us and freaks us out a little bit. Like, yeah, dummy may not be pulling that sheet back. I don't really know who is, but it, you know,
I'm
not doing it. Maybe my husband's playing a joke on me and he's just playing the longest joke on
great.
Me. That is not my husband. That is not his personality. But like, think about like how, you know, I'm sitting here telling you these stories and I'm putting myself out there that, you know, it's one of those things that it kind of, every time we have new guests over, we talk about the ghost in the house because it's just interesting and it's fun and it's entertaining. And, you know, that's.
And you want it to be real, kind of, because it adds a whole new,
dimension to reality almost. You're interacting and you're co-inhabiting with
We don't like to think about saying goodbye. Let's just be real.
Sure.
We don't like to think about that. I mean, heck, if I had to think about my mom haunting me, I'm not even there. Nope, not even thinking about it. But it is kind of nice to think that, you know, there's stuff going on after all of that.
Yeah.
And not even like the heaven thing. Like there's actually like a tangible artifact left of you.
Where you can kind of phase in and out of this dimension, you know? And
well, it goes on to like think about legacy. Like the term, sure. Like think about legacy. So if you have like a tangible legacy, isn't that nice? Like, isn't that a cool thought?
It is.
I'd rather not haunt my house. I'd probably haunt that piano over there if I had to haunt anything. But
play a beautiful song.
Just all the time. Just annoy people.
At like 2:00 in the morning.
Oh my gosh. I'd be the meanest ghost ever.
I would too.
Yeah, no. I would probably just annoy the heck out of my husband. Thankfully, he doesn't have to hear me walk around the house and sing much, but that's what I would do if I was a ghost. I would just walk around the house and sing all day long and bang on the piano and probably turn on all the lights because that's what I do when I'm at home anyway.
On and off,
just all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, my wife's theme song is it Tracy Lawrence? Every light in the house is on. God.
Yeah, every time that comes on, my husband looks at me. He's like,
That's you.
I'm just scared of the dark. I don't like it. So,
you love horror movies. Love ghost stories, but you're scared of the dark.
I am scared of the dark.
I guess you're a true believer, though.
Well, it's just, you know, think about like this. Like, the room we're in right now, y'all can't see it. It's a big, tall room.
Mm-hmm. Huge room.
Yeah. Churches, like big, empty rooms like that, creepy as hell. Mm. But if I'm like in a little, tight, dark space, totally love it. My favorite, my dad.
So
I've got one more good ghost story to tell you. And I'm sorry, I know we're running so long.
You're good.
So my dad has always been a skeptic, but he's not anymore.
Mm.
Or at least he says he's not.
Okay.
So we went on a family vacation with my stepmom, my brother, Andrew, and I before we had Ada. Ada's my dog, not my child. and we went to this cabin out in Glacier. Oh, you have to cut this. It's in North Tennessee.
Glacier Mountain National Park or something?
I think so. Yeah, that might be right. Yeah, it's up there on the Kentucky border.
Okay.
And I thought Dixon County was rural because I'm from inner city Memphis and this is like weird for me. But like that was remote. Mm-hmm. Like
that's Banjo Land.
It was like an hour and a half to find a Mexican restaurant at a gas station. Oh, that's how remote we were. And they found this beautiful cabin and we pulled up on it and it was nice. You know, it was a little bit weird. We kind of got the impression it was one of those like family cabins that they had just kind of put like on VRBO at the last minute because they needed to earn some extra income from it or something. Cause it had like family pictures on the wall like the '70s and eighties. I mean, it was interesting and it was nice, but, you know, Andrew and I were there the whole time. We stayed in this basement room that was also a wine cellar. So there was like a king size bed that was actually two twin size beds put next to each other. And then there was like just a giant wine rack on the wall full of nothing that should have been wine bottles.
Oh, but
it was just a giant wine rack and a tile floor. And it was just bizarre. And we stayed there for a couple of nights, did some good hiking, had some good family time, probably drank too much bourbon. It was great, you know? And I get back and my dad calls me and he's like, Angela, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, what's wrong? You know, who's died? And he's like, did you get like a weird feeling at that cabin? And I was like, well, I mean, it was kind of ratchet. I mean, it was not like,
sure,
it wasn't like the best accommodations. It was good for a last minute family vacation for us all to have our own bedrooms. And he said, okay, so do you remember how stuff just kind of kept like disappearing? Like apparently my stepmom was just like frustrated because like stuff would just like disappear and appear in other drawers, and she would like find things in like her luggage and like her luggage, and I thought it was just like forgetfulness.
Sure.
Like it was actually the first time Angela was like not looking for ghosts, and so I was like, I don't know, you know. And evidently like the night after Andrew and I left and my brother left, my stepmom wakes up and there is like someone at the foot of her freaking bed.
Oh,
I mean, like an old man just like sitting there looking right at her. And I'm like, oh my God. And I mean, my dad woke up and there he was too. And it's one of those things like where they talk about apparitions.
That makes my heart race.
I know, it's really rough. Like, yeah. It was one of those moments where I looked at my dad and I was like, are you really telling me that you saw something like that? And, you know, apparently, you
know. So what happened to little man? Did he just get up and walk out? Or
he just vanished. He just went away. He was just there and he wasn't there anymore.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
No, and it's one of those stories. Like, I actually kind of can't believe I forgot to tell you that one, yeah. Because it's so incredible. Because it's just like, you know, you could always say like, oh, I woke up and I half saw it. But a true definition of an apparition,
sure,
is two people seeing it at the same time and witnessing it together. And
wow, what
my
a
poor daddy, who, you know, spent most of my life telling me that, you know, this is, you're acting crazy. He called me because he was like, oh my God, I think I just saw something. So I am not sharing this podcast with him. He will be so embarrassed.
It's been a good one though. Right, perfectly timed well for Halloween.
Yeah, I think so. You know, I'm a realtor. All we do is talk about houses. I'm done with talking. I wanted to just sit and talk about
ghost stories
yeah. And fun things. And
yeah, it's about to get, Halloween's probably my favorite holiday.
Mine too.
You know, I kind of grew out of Christmas, you know, when you stop getting presents from everybody, you know, you got to move on to it. I love the family time of Christmas, and I'm a little odd about the interchanging of presents. I do agree with the expression of gratitude, you know, mm-hmm. but just the onslaught of materialism that Christmas has taken on is a little depressing almost. But
what is like the one Christmas present you remember getting though? Like you have to remember like that one.
Oh man. A dog, you know, mm-hmm. or,
that's a good one.
Yeah. An Xbox, you know, just the
like the original OG, like
yeah, the
green and black,
lemon,
yeah.
black one, yeah. I don't know what, not a car because my birthday's in January. I don't know. Christmas was always, you know, and sometimes Christmas can be a little hectic because you're just running around trying to.
As grown-ups, as, you know, yeah. old millennials, I mean, you're 31, I'm 32, we have, quote-unquote, expectations yeah. now that we have to, like, deliver upon.
You're gonna meet.
And
yeah. Oh, one of the, okay, this is probably the best Christmas present I've ever gotten. And Mom listens to all my podcasts, and she's, I don't know what she's going to think about it, but my granddad, M.O. Shepherd, gave me a 1927 single-shot bolt-action 22 long rifle.
My husband's making nice faces yeah. right now.
And you know what happened to that long rifle? A thief stole it.
A thief of the night.
A thief of the night. That along with my 870, Remington 870 Super Mag pump. Best shotgun ever made.
That sucks.
I was so
I've been
mad.
Broken into like three times. It's
so
the worst feeling.
So mad. Yeah, I'm so mad. So been searching the pawn shops and everything and...
It takes a while. No, you know what's weird though? I feel like I've seen some of the stuff I've had stolen from me, like in Nashville, like just in antique stores and stuff like that. Yeah. I had a lot of jewelry stolen from me one year. That was terrible.
Oh, yuck.
But the one I always remember, I got the Barbie airplane.
Nice.
It had like the little, like it had a little cart that went through it and it would serve like coffee and orange juice and ice that would come through it. And that was like, I was convinced I was never going to get it. And of course it was there in the morning. It was
Santa,
like,
Santa never fails.
He really didn't that year. That was super sweet. That and I got Donkey Kong 64.
Oh, love that. Did you ever play Star Fox?
Of course I played Star
That's
Fox.
The best game
Who
ever.
Was your character?
Star Fox, I guess, right? The Fox.
Oh, I was Falco. Always Falco.
Falco, yeah, that's what it was. Falco. And then there was the frog.
Slippy.
And then there was the...
Oh, the bunny. What was his name?
Bunny. Hoppy. Bouncy.
He was like the old man. He
yeah,
was always
Yeah, and
sad.
Then there was the... Was it a walrus or like a fat?
There
flubber?
Was a walrus. Yeah, I can't remember his name
thing.
Right now.
Yeah.
I just remember that there were two endings. Falco. There was either like the one that yeah. had like the mm-hmm. lame Andross mm-hmm. and then there was like the brain Andross.
Yeah. You had to do all the secret stuff before though. Yes. You had to fly through the stuff.
It was, that was probably one of the only way you could ever play that game accurately was through the player's guide.
Oh, absolutely.
No. Yeah. It was... You get me on video games then, Michael. That's the next conversation.
That's the next podcast is video games. Cool. Well, thank you for having me in your home.
Yeah,
I
of course.
Appreciate it.
I enjoyed
and telling
it.
The ghost and stories. And
Dixon, I'm sorry if I bored you with my, you know, weirdness.
My podcasts get an average of 100 listens, and the average listener is about 15 minutes in. So I cut them up, you know, and mm-hmm. so and then those get listened to fully. So
I will give a quick shout out though, if that's sure, okay. Please so do. I have two clients that closed on a beautiful piece of land in Cumberland Furnace, and they have been loyal listeners of you from the first day. They love you, and they talk about everybody that's on the podcast like they're famous characters, and I freaking love it. Like, I love that, like, my best friend Nikki Watts is like a celebrity to them. I think it's so awesome. Sweet. And I mean, I'm not making fun of it. It's just so cool sure. because, like, I love what I'll brag on you for a second, Michael. What I love about you is that you're making, I don't know, our town relevant, and you're making the little characters in our town seem relevant.
Yeah. Everybody's
not seem relevant. You're making them relevant. Yeah. You're giving them a place to talk and a
platform for yeah. their vibe, you know?
Didn't even have to talk about real estate or nonprofit today. You just be yourself.
We talk about that enough, you know.
I know, right?
Else, you know, I do too. Like, you gotta have your pitch, you gotta have your game, but
That's honestly not who I am though. Like,
that's so much deeper than that.
That's like 80, that's like 20% of who I am. There's like 80% oh, that boy. No one, yeah.
We might have to have an Angela Moore podcast series here.
Let's Heaven just, help us. That would not
she's
be.
She's like mm-mm. an onion, you know? We'll just keep peeling.
isn't that what ogres are like?
Yeah. Or like, we'll say a cake, you know, with a cake. Layered cake.
A parfait.
You know, something. And that's something I've been wanting to do more too is like, so I'm having, and I'll invite you and I'll say it on every podcast. I'm having a 50th episode party.
Oh.
January 22nd. So,
well, that's going on my calendar yeah, right now.
Lock it in. It's going to be at the Chamber office.
Aww.
Or the Chamber Event Center. So I've got that booked. I booked it as of today because I was finally able to kind of get it to where I was like, all right, this is going to be the right date.
That's a good time, actually. That's like mm-hmm. in the middle
of
nothing.
It's after the holidays.
Yeah.
It's before spring. So it's going to be all my guests plus one. So it'll be about 100 and something people there. I've had a couple restaurateurs on. Victor Lugo's gonna be on in a couple months, so I'm just gonna shout out and say I'm hoping that everybody brings a little something, you know, because I don't really want to have to feed 100 people balling on a budget over here. But I will definitely pay for a lot of things, but if we could work some food stuff out, that would be great. I'll bring the music, and it'll be just a really relaxed environment, and get all the podcast guests that haven't maybe met each other or whatever, and just have a big networking party. Should
That'd be
fun.
Awesome. That'd yeah. be fun. I mean, I think we're all kind of on the same page about the goal of, and not even just enriching Dixon, but, and I told you this earlier, like, my goal with what I do is to establish contributing citizens of our community.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I think
people that care
and just want to have that feeling, like have that
contribute their talents to the community yeah. too, because I feel like it's such a detriment to the community for people that are so talented that don't outwardly, you know, try to push it out there.
Dixon's a welcoming enough community. I've not met a single person, and it's not because I'm awesome. It's because Dixon's awesome.
Sure.
Like, I've not met a single person that's not at least open to sitting and listening for a minute.
Sure.
And if they aren't, they're probably busy, and they probably will come back and listen to
sure.
you later.
Just give them time.
Yeah.
Give them time. I'm just going to keep pumping them out once a week. I don't care how many people listen, you know?
No.
I really don't.
Thank you for what you do, Michael. You're very good at your job and good at your gift and your craft. So we're grateful for you.
Well, at least one of us thinks that.
No.
No, I just give me a mic and I'll act like a ding dong. So yeah, cool. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you as well too.
He's motioning to my husband over here. Someday we'll get Andrew on the podcast. He'll sit and talk about tech and leadership, maybe.
Cool. That's what I'm talking about. Knock that one out of the park. All right. Sweet. Well, thank you guys for listening. I hope you enjoyed the horror stories and learned a little bit more about Dixon. And if you're interested in joining a search party for the White Bluff Howler.
Oh, I'm game.
Yeah. Let's put that together.
I'll bring snacks.
Okay. Snacks and box wine. Let's do that.
Yes, snacks and box wine.
Cool. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. Be sure to like, subscribe, share, do all the good things. Let's get this thing out there. Really appreciate you listening. Until next time, peace.
Thanks again to The Station for sponsoring this episode. If you are looking to book your next wedding or reception, baby shower or birthday party, conference or class, photo or video shoot, or even a live music performance, please reach out to Andy Truman at 336-693-4311. or shoot her an email at events@mulberrymilldixon.com. If you're interested in sponsoring an episode, please reach out to me directly via email at yourvibespodcast@gmail.com. Thanks again for listening, and always remember, stay vibey, my friends.